We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This week marked the 2-year anniversary of the Orlando shooting at the Pulse nightclub. And I remember where I was sitting at my mother-in-law's house that day, just watching the coverage out of Orlando. Omar Mateen killed 49 people, injured dozens. Survivors and families have now filed a lawsuit in federal court saying that their civil rights were violated that day. The lawsuit blames 31 Orlando police officers for not immediately confronting the gunman and detaining uninjured survivors for questioning. WESH in Orlando reporting the suit also claims the city inadequately trained the responders. In a joint statement sent over to USA Today, the city of Orlando and the police department said they have not seen the federal lawsuit, but stand firm that, quote, federal, state, and local law enforcement officers and first responders put themselves in harm's way to save as many lives as possible. I didn't realize this. And yesterday, by the way, it was the 2-year anniversary. I didn't realize this, Jamie. The shooting or the hostage situation went on for 3 hours.
Yeah. And so it's a question of, you know, what, number one, what the first responders were told. Mm-hmm. And if they were told not to go in, then why? But yeah, there for 3 hours, and we knew this based on a lot of the 911 calls, club goers who were injured hid in stalls as the gunman talked on and off with police negotiators. And at least one woman bled out in the bathroom while she was waiting for help. While authorities were negotiating with him, you had people that were whose injuries were worsening as they were stuck in there. And some for 3 hours didn't get the help that they need. And so there are some that say we could have made a big difference if first responders had gone in sooner.
576-7798. Knowing what you know about this case, it's been 2 years. Do you think that this lawsuit has legs? Do you think the survivors and the families, do they have a case against the Orlando police? What if Orlando police officers who responded to the shooting were aggressive with the plan to rescue victims and hostages and kill the shooter? What's what one person asked? Would my brother still be alive? This, I mean, I know we're starting to hear more about the Las Vegas shooting. We know people are filing lawsuits down in Parkland. Can you file a lawsuit against the police department for waiting 3 hours? I mean, they didn't wait 3 hours, but it took 3 hours for them to get Omar Mateen and people died. Like you said, one woman bled out in the bathroom while she was hiding.
Because they were taking the time to negotiate and try to get an end to that peacefully instead of just storming in there and confronting the gunman. And trying to get the, you know, the survivors out of there. And in fact, they said part of the lawsuit also was detaining uninjured survivors for questioning, which they didn't like. But I would, no big deal about that. But yeah, for 3 hours, they didn't go in. And 2 years later, they say, that's wrong. You should have gone in and helped us.
576-7798. Where do you stand? Do you think that they have a case, or is this just frivolous? Let's go to John on KMBZ. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yo, what's up?
I don't think they're going to have a leg to stand on this one, just because I don't know if you mentioned it while I was on hold, but I remember they reported he told law enforcement that he had the place wired to blow.
Okay.
He said he had explosives, and I believe they actually blew their way into the bathroom to detain him or neutralize him that way.
Yeah, I mean, there, part of the statement says that Mateen threatened to put bomb vests on hostages.
Mm-hmm. So I don't see how this can go anywhere. I know that law enforcement and first responders are trained meticulously, especially nowadays, with these types of events.
Can I ask what the difference, and John, maybe you don't know the, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but people, are, I remember a couple of days after the Broward County shooting, people were referring to the Parkland officer who stayed outside as the Broward coward. Is there a difference between the Broward coward, who I couldn't call him a coward, but is there between that guy and these police officers in Orlando for not going in to to the Pulse nightclub?
That's too big of a gap to try and fill a conversation. There could be policy differences between the different organizations.
Hmm. All right. Hey, John, thanks. I'll ask you, Jamie. Is there a difference between the officer at the Parkland shooting who waited outside, who many who are upset referred to as the Broward coward, and the officers who didn't go in and gun down Omar Mateen?
I don't know, because I don't know what everybody was told. It's that was a big debate about the guy at Parkland, was what were his orders? Were his orders to stay outside, or was he ignoring orders to go in? And the same thing here. It's, we might have to have the conversation later about police policy, but if policy was being followed, then you got to have that debate with whoever the commanding officer was, or whoever it was who decided that you had to negotiate with him before you went in. It's conceivable to me that part of the reason they may have chosen to negotiate with him for so long instead of just storming the building was that he's unpredictable at that point. And your goal is to get a peaceful solution so that he doesn't go and shoot the other people that are inside. My guess is that part of their thinking is, I can't believe it's going to come out this way, but we could lose a couple of survivors in the process of it taking so long, but we might save 100. Whereas if we storm in, if he's got the place hooked with explosives, if he's got more guns that we don't know about, then he could end up shooting the people that are left. It was probably a calculated risk that had to be taken.
I'd like to know if anybody can further explain the difference between the SRO who didn't go into Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School and these officers who didn't go in. Is it because of the threat that he said he was going to put bomb vests on hostages during the negotiating process? 576-7798. Steve, you're next up on 98.1 KMBZ. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing all right. What do you think of this case against the Orlando police?
Well, unfortunately, there was a Supreme Court case, I believe it was either back in the 70s or the 80s, where in Washington, D.C., some home invasion took place, and one of the ladies actually called the police. They were dispatched. They drove by. They didn't see anything wrong. They never got out. And I think several of the ladies were raped and or killed. And by the time it got to the Supreme Court, the court basically said that the police are under no legal obligation to protect any specific individual. They provide protection to society as a whole. And that court case was thrown out, even though I believe in that case the ladies called a second time, the cops returned, drove by the building again, still seeing nothing wrong, they just left. So I don't know. Legally speaking, I think the Supreme Court decided on this a long time ago. The police are not there to protect you.
So then should there be no blame for the SRO in Parkland? Is that what you're saying? He waited and did what he thought or was taught was best, was to wait outside?
What I'm saying is that legally speaking, the Supreme Court says you can't sue him for doing that. Now, he's an SOB, and he should be civilly sued and shunned, and no one should ever speak a word to him for the rest of his life. But that's society. That's not the legal system.
I gotcha. Hey, thanks for the phone call, Steve. 576-7798. Because if that's the case, if the legal responsibility is to, for lack of a better word, contain the situation, you know, wait outside. And if you don't want you have a small nightclub and you have an entire city of Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And the second he steps outside, you take him out. Or you have a school, and I'm not saying that it's fine what Nick Cruz did, but you have a school where this guy is inside, or you have the rest of the suburbs in that case. 576-7798. You can text in at 22980. Do the Pulse survivors and families have a case against the Orlando police? We'll get to more of your phone calls. Also to come this hour, the latest of what my generation is ruining. And if you're of a generation that is a little bit older than we millennials, you're going to want to listen up. We'll tell you what that is coming up here on 98.1 KMBZ. All right, it's 11:19 here on 98.1 KMBZ. Happy Wednesday. This is kind of a depressing story to get to.
So, yes, as we change gears dramatically from what we were going to do 30 seconds ago, which
yeah.
So there's a story, let me make sure I've got the right one, out of, is it Lebanon? Is that how we're pronouncing
yeah.
that? And so it's another occasion where we've had multiple kids killed in a fire. If you recall, there was one out of Lake Ozark, Missouri in April. We'll recap that one for you here in a second. But out of the Star, fire investigators found no smoke detectors in the Ozarks home where five children were killed by fire last week. The fire chief there of Lebanon said, our search of the home did not reveal any smoke detectors. 5-year-old Ethan, 2-year-old Mayanna, I think I'm mispronouncing that, Mayanna, 1-year-old Benjamin Hunt were killed in their home. Also killed were first cousins, 1-year-old Andre and Patience, who was 6 months. Andre and Patience's mother, Allie Malik, brought the children to the home to babysit for her brother-in-law. Her brother-in-law is the father of 3 siblings that were killed. This is a small town, 15,000 people, and so this was a big deal to have 5 kids that were killed in that same fire. The mobile home was rented, according to county records, and the mother of his children. And so landlords must ensure working smoke detectors are installed when tenants move in, but maintaining the devices is the sole responsibility of the tenants there. No state agency in Missouri has any legal authority when it comes to the proper maintenance of smoke detectors in residential dwellings not licensed by state agencies. Locally is how that is enforced. There are a couple of states. Oregon says state law mandates that maintenance and testing of detectors falls on the owners of the dwellings. And Wisconsin landlords have to respond within 5 days when there's a problem with the detectors. Again, there were no smoke detectors in this mobile home was being rented.
How can that be possible? Like, the bare minimum, you need like doors, windows, walls, and a smoke detector.
I will tell you, and feel free to admit to this, 22980 or 5767798. Anybody take theirs down? Because they beep too much, because they go off too often, and so you just pull it off the wall. I guarantee you there were people that just... Now, they didn't find any there. And so I don't know if that's going to be a landlord thing, didn't have them installed, or if we're going to find out later they had been dismantled. But still, that was a case where we had no smoke detectors. And in Kansas City, landlords must provide smoke detectors, but occupants must maintain them, meaning change the batteries. But in this case, we had none. It's the second case. Again, we had this case out of Lake Ozark, Missouri in April, where we had, wasn't this all four?
Four of the kids were killed? Yeah, 4 brothers were killed by something, whether it was a spark from a cigarette, potentially from a bonfire pit or a barbecue. The family had people over, and after they threw some water over 2 still-burning logs, mom and dad go to a bar, leaving 4 brothers at home. Fire goes off, and unfortunately, we lost all 4 of them.
Yeah, and in this case, we were looking at what Missouri law says about how old a child has to be left home alone, because the kids have been left home alone while mom went out. But it's 2 cases in the same part of the state where you've had, and I think that's why the second one caught my attention, was we had another case of multiple children being killed in a fire. Anybody willing to admit they take the battery out of their smoke alarm are willing to... because I think people do it. It starts chirping in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. That's annoying. And so in order to just take care of that, you just take the battery out of it. Or anybody else have trouble with landlords with theirs?
576-7798. What are your smoke alarm issues? Because, Art, there's one in the apartment building that we cannot take off the wall. Mm-hmm. There's one, like, if there's a fire in the elevator or something goes off, the whole building is evacuated. Mm-hmm. And then there's the one that's just inside our apartment, where usually when I cook and don't turn the fan on, everything coming off the fryer, whether it's a chicken or pork chop or whatever, if I don't have the fan on, usually the alarm goes off and the dog starts going nuts. We have friends that have taped paper towel over theirs. They'll fold it up a bunch and tape it over theirs because they have a couple of dogs and it goes absolutely nuts. I can't imagine taking the smoke detector off. Or taking the battery out and not replacing it. 576-7798 if you do. Or text in at 22980. We're talking about a fire here.
A major fire.
A major fire that if you're asleep and let's say it's a blaze. You're gone if you don't hear that fire alarm going off. And I don't understand why you wouldn't have a fire alarm or why you wouldn't have working batteries in your fire alarm.
Yeah.
You know, or your smoke detector.
Okay, so when was the story that I have was written yesterday?
The Lake of the Ozark story was on my birthday.
If you look a little further into the story, the 20-year-old mother of 2 of these kids remains unconscious still.
Still to this day.
And doesn't know that she has lost her children. She is under heavy sedation and a ventilator because her lungs were damaged in the fire. She is unaware that she has lost her children. So just imagine that.
Oh, when mom, my gosh.
When mom is able to be awakened. A lot of you are admitting on the text line that you have taken yours down.
Why?
Or you have taken the batteries out when you are cooking because it goes too often. It goes off too often.
But do you put it back up?
I think people forget sometimes.
I know.
I think you forget that. to put your battery back in.
You're right about that.
I will tell a very quick funny story for a moment of levity. Have I told you the story on the air about me, the doorbell versus the smoke alarm in my house?
No.
We talked about this? Okay. I don't want to tell the same stories over and over. So,
no.
Real quick, when I first bought a house at the age of 25, I had a split level. And so you walk in and there's upstairs and there's downstairs. And there was a fan directly above the front door at that split level. And when I first moved in, I was cooking a frozen pizza and the smoke alarm went off and would not stop. And so I found it and could not find the place to take the door off the smoke alarm, like to get it to go off. I couldn't find the button. I couldn't find where the battery was. I went to and I started hitting it like as much as I could. I'm like, at some point, I'm just going to hit it and it'll stop. Eventually, I realized that the thing that I was hitting and beating the hell out of was actually the doorbell and that the smoke alarm was up by the fan. That's why there's a fan there.
All right.
To keep the smoke from going away so it doesn't go off. And if it does go off, you turn the fan on and that stops it. So it was new home ownership.
Oh, you're blaming new home ownership?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know the difference.
576-7798. Cody, you're on KMBZ. What's up, Cody?
Not a whole lot, just working.
Hey, we appreciate you calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, this always breaks my heart because I install fire alarm systems for a living for a good corporation around the Metroplex area. And every time I hear stories like this, and out of my career, this is the second time hearing kids die, it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Every time, because my job is life safety. And I try to tell people about their smoke detectors in their house that sometimes if they're beeping and it's not the battery, that they can be dirty. A can of canned air can actually clear your problem with that as well.
Huh. How often do you see people taking them down, or you go in, you're like, where do you have your smoke detector? And it's like, it's in the closet, batteries are dead. Like, when you inspect and do that stuff, how often is it a fail?
More than you probably want to know.
No, I believe it, Cody.
It's like a 90% that I can walk in and actually monitor systems from my phone and get a phone call like, our system's going haywire and somebody's cooking and took the smoke detector off, or vaping can set your smoke detector off as well.
Oh, I got friends like they'll vape by the pool and I'll just look at them, just inhale, and then just a plume of smoke comes out. Mm-hmm. I imagine that'll mess up your smoke detector or cause it to go off. Thanks, Cody, for your call, and thank you for saving lives, man. We appreciate it. Andy, stick right there. We'll get to you. You want to admit to unplugging or unhooking your smoke detector and leaving it? For a conversation, you want to jump in, you can. 576-7798. A couple of stories about smoke detectors and people removing them. Why do you take your smoke detector off? Will you admit to it? 576-7798 or text in at 22980. Andy, you're on 98.1 KMBZ. Thanks for hanging, Andy.
Yeah, I just want to let you guys know, when I lived in Ohio, there was a sorority house fire that claimed a number of lives. And they found, I think, 5 to 7 working smoke detectors in the home that never activated. And that what they found is there's a huge difference between, there's two types of detectors, photoelectric and the cheaper ionic detectors. And a lot of municipalities now require both in new homes, but the photoelectric detects smoldering slow fires a lot faster. And the ionic detectors can have a half hour to 45 minute delay with that type of fire. And the price difference is only about $5 to buy the photoelectric.
It would seem to me, especially if you're talking about sorority houses and whatnot, those are kind of older homes, you would probably want the faster one.
Well, they only work, though, in a very fast flaming fire, which are the least common fire to occur in homes. So that's why they require both now, but they say if you're going to only choose one, photoelectric is by far better.
Hmm. All right, man. Thanks for the update, Andy. Appreciate it. 576-7798. And the reason I bring that up is I'm guessing if there's a fire at a frat house or a sorority house or something like that, those are old homes, usually made out of a lot of wood. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're going to spark up pretty quick.
Yeah, a lot of you were texting in, you are guilty of taking them down.
I believe it.
Somebody said, I live in a 1950s apartment with no vent fans in the kitchen. Cooking sets it off. Oh. I move it to the bedroom, the shower steam sets it off, and it came down.
The shower steam sets it off. Oof.
So, man. You just got to be good then about putting it back up, I guess.
That's just frightening. That's scary to me.
Let's see. Four-bedroom house, there's one in every bedroom, at least one in every hallway, one in every kitchen, at least one in the living room. There are several. And in one house, it's not just apartment. And one house, it's not... Oh, houses have to worry about it, too. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but if it's your house, it's all on you. You know, apartments, there's a little bit of a landlord. Everybody is talking about how annoying smoke alarms are.
You're annoyed by smoke alarms? It's like it's like people who are annoyed by seatbelts.
No, it's not. Because with your smoke alarm, your seatbelt... Okay, fine. I guess you can compare that you can't just make your seatbelt go away. But with the smoke alarm... You could just push the button and make it stop. You don't have to take the battery out. Just hit the button and it'll stop instead of like dismantling the whole thing.
I have no idea why you would want to take your seatbelt off. I have no idea why you'd want to have your smoke alarm disabled, you know, taken down, battery removed. It's saving your life, just like seatbelts are saving your life. Call me crazy. I might be nuts on that one. No. Who knows? Read about it up on our Facebook page. It's also up on Twitter. You can check this out. Travis. Time to talk about millennials, so please scoot up to the microphone here. Do you want to know what we're ruining now?
I mean, at this point,
everything.
We're going to be ruining the world.
We pretty much are. This is a story out of Forbes. After a 30-plus year in her career, Donna is counting down the months until retirement. She gleefully shares everything she has planned for what she wants to do. She can do whatever she wants, whenever she wants. But in the middle of her excitement, she clenches her fists and says, "Where are my grandbabies?" Donna is not alone. Now, she can't speak to the particular grandbabyless predicament, but her experience is part of a much bigger trend, one with serious implications for baby boomers' retirement plans. Travis, put that up on the board for what we're ruining. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention released new data showing that the birth rate in America has dropped to an all-time low. Millennials, you, me, Travis, we're just not having kids. We're not just not having them yet. The only cohort, and I'm at the tail end of it, the only cohort of women showing an uptick in first-time births are women over the age of 35.
Yeah. Yep.
In fact, the rate of first-time births for women between the ages of 40 and 44 doubled. So older women having their first-time kid doubled from 1990 to 2012. Observers have suggested a number of reasons why millennials are proving to have children later, if at all. Travis, what is the number one reason why you do not have a child as a millennial here?
I'm broke. I'm still working two jobs, sometimes three, to take care of Mel and I and my dog. And I just looked up a stat of how much it is to raise a kid, just one kid, and it says $233,610.
That's a lot of money.
And doesn't include college, I believe.
That does not include college. So that's just college. From born to 18.
$233,000 from birth till get out of my house and I hope you got a scholarship.
But wait, 233 divided by 18. So 12, that can't be right. 233,000 divided by 18. So 12, 13 grand a year.
13 grand a year, Travis. You got that. That's about what we pay you here.
Cool. Okay. My salary.
But think about that for a second. I mean, you, yes. But what percentage of your are you supposed to save? You know, like for when you look at a budget, what percentage of what you take home are you supposed to? Like, I have no idea how much money you save.
Like 35% is on rent is the max.
But I don't know for saving what you're supposed to save.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I don't know if that $233,000, I assume that includes daycare. But, and I don't know how they account for, I mean, you're going to make more money over the course of those 18 years. You're not going to be making in 10 years the same thing that you make year one of that kid's birth. But that means that you need to be saving, you need to have about $1,100 in spare money every month. So but you're going to make more money, you know, over the course of your life. And I guess I look at that and go, I'm cutting into what I'm saving every month. Can you not save $1,000 a month right now?
Between the two of you? With what we pay in rent?
Yeah, but...
We can be close. We don't, but we could be close.
Is that outside of funding retirement? Like, you guys fund retirement accounts and stuff? Okay.
We both have 401ks. She has a Roth. Outside of 401k, you know, just straight savings,
right? Just emergency fund money.
We're close to a grand.
You know,
we're looking to move out of downtown, so we're probably going to save a little more in the near future.
Yeah, I guess I've said before, I could put away $1,000 a month.
Could you really?
Yeah, because I just don't have a lot of, I don't have any debt. I don't have a car payment.
Mm. If we didn't have new car payments within the last year.
I don't pay quite what you do in rent.
No one should.
But, because I think about how I fund vacations, and quite honestly, that $12,000 a year is probably close to what I spend in travel every year.
Sure.
Maybe
sure.
Not quite that much. So I just have to cut back on vacations.
Someone just texted in, we pay $12,000 a year for daycare and preschool.
I believe that. I believe it. Man,
do you want them to be smart?
I was talking to a friend of ours.
I'll take them to homeschool until they actually have to go to kindergarten.
The friend of ours was telling us that they take their kids to a $800 a month place for daycare.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, $800 a month?
Yeah.
Man.
Daycare is
that's expensive.
Not cheap.
Some of the reasons, according to Forbes, have to do, obviously, with money. Like Travis is talking about, one of the reasons, you know, for me, the same thing. Observers have suggested a number of reasons why millennials are proving slow to have children. Although the recession has been over for nearly a decade, there may be a lasting economic insecurity that is causing young would-be parents to think twice about procreating. Others assert that student debt has delayed parenthood. If you are of this millennial generation, or you have kids that are of the millennial generation, and you haven't had children yet, what's the particular reason? 576-7798. Or text in at 22980. Love to know. We have been trying. Lee has some fertility issues, which we have talked about. But I also wasn't ready to have kids in my 20s and most of my 30s. 576-7798. What's the number one reason? We'll take your phone calls and your text hits. Coming up next. The baby boomer retirement. I'll pay this off and we'll go to the phones and find out why we millennials are having kids later, if at all. The majority of baby boomers' wealth is not in the bank. All right. Now follow along. It's in the bank or a pension plan or an investment portfolio. Despite the popular urban mythology of boomer life in the big city, more than 70% of baby boomers are still living in the suburbs and rural areas. Their wealth is in their homes. An increasing number of soon-to-retire and recently retired boomers are looking to downsize and cash out the decades of equity they have amassed in their homes as a source of income. But how can they cash out without any buyers? I can imagine the scene of a boomer trying her best to sell the idea of sprawling family home built for two, three, or more children in a highly desirable community to a younger buyer, a.k.a. my generation, Travis's generation, is not looking to buy the three-bedroom home that you have lived in since the 1970s because we aren't having kids. We're staying in smaller apartments. We're living downtown. We're living in our mother's basements, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I think you also, because didn't you cite another stat? Women are waiting longer than ever.
Yeah.
More women, I think it's the section of society where births are going up as women over 40, women over 35.
For the rate of first-time births for women between 40 and 44, double.
Yeah, and single women are doing it more.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
over 35 is up for the first time ever.
Yeah, I just think it's people kind of deciding they don't have to do it at a certain point. And it's women deciding, you know, that I'm going to focus on my career for a while first, or you didn't focus on the relationship that would have gotten you kids first, or... In my case, I don't think I'm still not sure if I do want kids, and I'm almost 40, and I'm not going to do it unless I'm sure.
Good.
Sometimes you're not sure for a while. Sometimes you just need to hit that point in life where you're ready to take that step.
576-7798. Millennials, what's your number one reason for not having children yet? Let's start with Aaron on 98.1 KMBZ. How old are you, Aaron?
I'm 37.
You're you and me, brother. We're right at the end of the millennial generation.
The end, the beginning.
I mean, if you want to go that way, okay.
we are the ones who started. I graduated in 2000. I was told I was a millennial from the day I started kindergarten.
Yeah, you definitely are.
People aren't millennials. So the thing is the people that are complaining about it are the ones who, you know, ruined everything. You know, you used to be able to afford a car, a house, or two cars, and on one person's salary. Well, now you can't do that. and you know, the factory jobs are gone, you know, to where people could afford to do that. Well, you just read something in your story that, you know, totally, you know, washes this away. The housing market, you can't find a house. Anybody can sell their house right now for $10,000 to $20,000 over asking price. So this story is total hogwash, you know. Because people like you two would buy this house and get rid of a room and make a, you know, entertainment room or whatever.
No, use it as an Airbnb, man. Make the extra income.
Yes, very much so.
Aaron, thanks for the phone call, man. We 37-year-old millennials got to stick together.
Let's see. I'm just taking a look at the text line about what people, why people say they. Yeah, so here's a good story for you. In terms of why people waited, I wanted kids for a long time, just turned 30, had my first baby last year. I was in a terrible relationship and divorced by 24, and life just didn't line up for kids until I met my current husband at 26. We got married when I was 27, pregnant at 28. In my case, I wasn't going to settle for the bad relationship I was in and have kids with that guy like the previous generation in my family has done.
I believe that.
Which is a good reason.
I know plenty of people who are near that boomer generation that just... They stayed with it because they had a kid, even though they were miserable, or they were miserable, but it was their relationship, so they had a kid. You know, like, I understand that. That's kind of an older generational mindset.
We're also, I think millennials are, to their credit, realizing that they don't have to go and do the same job for 30 years in which you might make a solid, secure living, but you're going to be miserable. And to their credit, they got more creative about it. And more entrepreneurial about it. And that takes a little more time sometimes to make your money. And they're finding more creative ways to live, you know, and traveling more and finding the experiences to be more beneficial. I think we rag on the millennials too much. Just because they choose to do it differently doesn't mean that's wrong.
I agree with that. You know, there was a promo running for Dana and Park's show for a while. And it was an older gentleman talking about how these young millennials don't want to be truck drivers anymore. Well, no, they don't. They figured out ways to make money doing other things, you know? The tradition, and this goes back to an old way of thinking. The traditional way, you know, for my parents and my grandparents, meet a guy in high school, meet a woman in high school, you grow up a little bit, go to college, get married by your 20s, have a white picket fence and have, you know, two dogs or two kids and a dog or whatever. And then, you know, you live your life that way. It's a little different now. I mean, people are realizing, and this is the reason that I, you know, jokingly but seriously say, don't get married in your 20s, is because who I was at 22 is not who I was at 35. Who I was at 25 is not who I am now at 37.
Right.
And who I am at 37, probably going to be more like who I'm going to be in my 40s and 50s and beyond. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I was 22, it was... You could drink beer till 3 a.m., still wake up, go to work, and be all right, and then, you know, whatever. You know, I could still do the radio program the next day when I was doing sports talk in Ann Arbor years ago. Like, it was a lot different ball game then. And I believe that this generation, that you're right, we rag on. We rag on my generation.
Does your friends, Mike, have a, like, majority of friends, do they have kids?
50-50. It's becoming more, like it's starting to switch.
Is one of them a stay-home parent?
See, my friends John and Melissa know. They both work. They live in KCK. Actually, you know what? Close friends don't have kids.
So
close friends don't.
The majority of my friends, I would say I'm about the same 50-50.
Yeah.
But they make enough money to where one of them can stay at home because a lot of the moms want to take at least a year or two off before they go back to work just to, you know, be with the kid or whatever. I'm not in that situation. If Mel wanted to say, hey, you know, if we were to have a kid, you know, let's say next year, and she wants to stay home for at least a year, there's no way I could provide for all three of us.
Oh, gosh, no. No, I mean, if especially with the rent we pay downtown, there's no way Lee nor I could take off work and quit working. I'm sorry. You're stuck with me, Jamie. There's no way that the two of us could quit one of our jobs on the radio and support the other. Not living downtown and probably not living in one of the nicer suburbs.
But you could do it. You could choose, you know, the right mortgage rate and the right living situation and not have, especially when you start figuring in the cost of daycare.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could do that math and determine, especially if one of you wanted to stay home, especially in the first 5 years before they're off in school, people make it work. You know, I mean, everybody's doing the math, but there are people that make it work and decide, you know, we're going to give up one of our cars and we're going to, you know, not take as many vacations and we're going to do these things differently so that we can afford to do it.
It's a tough balance, I imagine. But yeah, Travis, it would be a struggle. And I think it would be a struggle for a lot of people to take off work. And that's, like you said, that's where the decision comes in. Are you paying for daycare? Are you paying for childcare? Or are you going to stay home and do it? And can you both, you can't both work unless you have some weird flipped schedule where you work overnights and when you come home, mom gets up and goes to work and that's impossible.
Into the text line. I'm 33. I have three kids. My wife is a stay-at-home mom. I'm not rich. I just know how to budget really well.
What do you do for a living?
Texas. And here's another one. I'm 39. I'm married at 18. I own three homes. My wife has not worked in 18 years. I'm a construction worker.
I wish I owned three homes.
It is possible if you want to. So you're going to sacrifice something. And it just depends on if that's something you want to sacrifice. You're also going to gain a lot, especially if you have a lot of kids at home.
I believe that 39-year-old construction worker is in the very extreme minority. Most people don't have three kids, three homes, been married 21 years. I'm just going to say that person is in the extreme minority. Sole provider, and good for you. I'm jealous. I wish I could afford three homes and Lee didn't have to work.
I know. Your question, we keep getting the stories, though. Into the text line, I make $41,000. I am 31. I have four kids. My wife stays at home. We own a home and two cars. It works.
How?
It's possible, I think, you know, with maybe you had a lot of savings beforehand. Maybe you've got help. Maybe you know how to grocery shop in a way where you don't spend a ton. Maybe you have no car payments. Maybe you have no debt. Maybe you got a low mortgage. People are telling me it can work. Mm.